The Haftorah of this week is from Yirmiyah Perek Lamed Daled. And much like last week, and there was one primary theme of the Haftorah, and the end of the Haftorah concluded with just a few more psukim to end on a positive note. And those last concluding psukim are not from the same perek that the bulk of the Haftorah is from. So the same is true this week as well. The bulk of the Haftorah is from Perek Lamed Daled in Yirmiyah. And because, as we'll soon see, the Haftorah itself is somewhat ominous. It's one that speaks of sin of Bnei Yisrael. It speaks of punishment. It speaks of exile. So the Haftorah concludes with a few more psukim from the previous Perek, Perek Lamed Gimel, which are a little bit more positive in tone. But for the purposes of this shir, we'll focus on the main theme of the Haftorah, which is the bulk of the Haftorah, Perek Lamed Daled. And to begin, just to give some background, some perspective, let's first just, before we get to the psukim, make mention of the fact that in the previous prakim in Yirmiyah, Perek Lamed Beis, Perek Lamed Gimel, those prakim describe the prophecy of Yirmiyahu Hanavi during the 10th year of King Tzidkiyahu's reign. Tzidkiyahu was the king who ultimately was exiled by Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel. And during the 10th year of Tzidkiyahu's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had already laid siege to Yerushalayim. The process that was to ultimately culminate in the destruction of Yerushalayim and the gullus of Yerushalayim has already begun. And Yirmiyahu is, at this time, in the previous two prakim, Lamed Beis, Lamed Gimel, he has been publicly sharing prophecy, foreseeing the destruction and the conquest of Yerushalayim, the exile of Tzidkiyahu, the king himself, and this was much to Tzidkiyahu's dismay, and as a result, Tzidkiyahu imprisoned Yirmiyahu. He imprisoned the Navi in a courtyard in his palace compound, and it was in this courtyard, known as the Chatzer HaMatara, that Yirmiyahu continues to give prophecy. And this is the background, if you will, to the Haftorah of this week's parasha, Perek Lamed Daled. And if we look at the opening psukim in the Haftorah, Perek Lamed Daled, Pasuk Ches, Pasuk Tes, and Pasuk Yud. So here the Navi tells us that God's word came to Yirmiyahu after Tzidkiyahu HaMelech had already, in the words of the Navi, Acharei Kros HaMelech Tzidkiyahu Bris Eskol Ha'am, he had already made a covenant with the people in Yerushalayim, Likro Lohem Diror, that they should proclaim freedom. That Tzidkiyahu had already, not long ago, succeeded in convincing the Jews in Yerushalayim to proclaim freedom. What was this proclamation of freedom? So the Pasuk then describes in Pasuk Tes and Pasuk Yud, this proclamation of freedom was that each man should free his Eved Ivri, his Ame Ivriya. He should free his Jewish slaves so that he should not enslave a fellow Jew. Now this, of course, is the mitzvah found in this morning, in this week's parsha, Parshas Mishpatim. The very beginning of the parsha, we read of the Kisikna Eved Ivri, Sheishanim Ya'avod. When you buy an Eved Ivri for 6 years, he should serve. And then, Ubashvi'is Yetzi L'chavshi Chinam. In the seventh year, he goes free. So it appears from the Navi that the Jews had failed in that regard to observe this mitzvah of freeing the Eved Ivri. And Tzidkiyahu had succeeded in convincing them to improve in that area and to once again observe the mitzvah of the Torah to free the Eved Ivri after 6 years of service. So this, of course, is the link between the Parsha and the Haftorah, this mitzvah of freeing the Eved Ivri. And in Pasuk Yud, we read that all of the people listened to Tzidkiyahu. They agreed to send free their Eved Ivri, their Amma Ivriya, and not to enslave them any longer. And then, unfortunately, in
Pasuk Yud Aleph, we read that despite having initially observed that call to emancipate their Eved Ivri after 6 years of work and service, nonetheless, it seems they could not maintain the observance of that mitzvah for long, because in Pasuk Yud Aleph, we're told, Vayashuvu Acharei Kein, they sometime thereafter went back yet again. They pulled back those slaves that they had freed. They enslaved them once more. You see here a description of a struggle that these Jewish slave owners were just unable to come to terms and to come to grips with the mitzvah that the Torah insists that you free an Eved Ivri after 6 years. And even after Tzidkiyahu had succeeded in convincing them, it's not right, you must free those servants, those slaves. And they did so. They couldn't maintain it for long. And they once more fell back into their previous habits of enslaving those avadim and not freeing them. So this is really the setting of the stage as to what the prophecy now is going to be about. So now, having given us this introduction, the Navi now in Pasuk Yud Beis now tells us what the message that God gave Yirmiyahu was. Of course, the message meant to be shared with Klal Yisrael. Says the Navi in Pasuk Yud Beis, the Dvar Hashem came to Yirmiyahu, and Pasuk Yud Gimel, here it is. Ko amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, so says God. Anochi karati bris es avoseichem, biyom hotzi'i osam me'eretz Mitzrayim me'beis avadim lemor. I, says God, made a covenant with your forefathers on the day I took them out of Egypt. And the covenant stated as follows. Pasuk Yedalad, Miketz Sheva Shanim Tishalchu Eshes Achiv Ivri. After 7 years, which according to some of the Farshim is not really referring to the end of 7 years, but rather it might refer to the beginning of the seventh year, which is how Matsudas David understands it, because the Pasuk speaks of freeing an Eved Ivri after 6 years, not after 7 years. Okay, be that as it may, the Navi tells Klal Yisrael that God says that I made a covenant with your forefathers on the day I took them out of Egypt, saying that you should free your fellow brother to Shalchu Ishes Achiv HaIvri, who might be sold to you, who has served you for 6 years, Vishilachto Chafshi Me'emach, send him to freedom. Velo Shamo Abaseichem Alai, your fathers did not listen to me. Velo Hitu Es Ozden, they didn't tilt their ears to listen. And then the Navi acknowledges, Vatashuvu Atem Hayom, you, however, repented. Vatasu Es Hayasher Be'ena, you did the right thing, says the Navi. Likro Dror Ishlo Be'eu, to call freedom each man to his friend. Vatichrusu Bris Lafanai Babayis Hashem Nikrashmi Olav, and you made a covenant in my Beis HaMikdash to free the slaves. And now, in Pasuk Tezayin, as we saw before, Vatashuvu Vatichalu Es Shemi. And now you yet went again and desecrated my name. And how did you do so? You brought back those servants that you freed. Vatashivu Ishes Avdo, Vishes Shivchaso, Asher Shilachtem Chavshim Lenavsham. You took back those servants that you had freed. Vatichbishu Osam Lios Lochem Lavodim Veleshvachos, and you now once again enslaved them. So the Navi now speaking, sharing God's message to Klal Yisrael, is describing what happened. I made a covenant with your forefathers on the day of the Exodus from Egypt to free your servants after 6 years. Your fathers didn't listen. You repented. You freed them. But now you've desecrated my name by taking them back to enslave them yet again. So let's pause for a moment before we get to the consequences and the punishment for this failure of Klal Yisrael. Look at that pasuk again. In pasuk Yud Gimel. And the pasuk says, God tells the Jews, Anochi karati bris es avoseichem, I made this covenant when? What does the pasuk say? Biyom hotzi'i osam me'eretz Mitzrayim mi'beis avadim. The pasuk speaks of this covenant having been made on the day that I took them out of Mitzrayim. Now, is that true? Did God give this instruction to Klal Yisrael on the day of Yetzias Mitzrayim to free your Eved Ivri? We have it in this week's Parsha, Parshas Nishpatim. That's not the day that they left Mitzrayim. Parshas Nishpatim is after Yisrael. It's after Matan Torah. It's, if anything, it's on the day of Matan Torah, at the earliest, presumably. What do you mean the day that you left Mitzrayim? Why does the pasuk here speak of this mitzvah of freeing the Eved Ivri being given on the day that you left Mitzrayim? So this seemingly pashat pshat problem is picked up on by the Mitzvot David. And the Mitzvot David says, well, you know what it really means? What it means is not on the day you left Mitzrayim, it means at the time you left Mitzrayim. But really it's a reference to Kabbal Satorah, at Har Sinai. After all, that's when the bris with Klal Yisrael was really put into effect. So when the pasuk here says that Anochi Karati Bris, I made a covenant with your forefathers, Biyom Hotzi Yosam, it doesn't mean, says Mitzvot David, on the day I took them out of Egypt. It means at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But it's really a reference to the Maimed Har Sinai, to the time that Klal Yisrael was standing at Har Sinai, which this week's parsha, that's what it's all about. They're at Har Sinai. That's when it happened. That's when this mitzvah was given. However, that being said, and that is the pshat of the Mitzvot David, nonetheless, there is a fascinating Yerushalmi in Meseches Rosh Hashanah. This Yerushalmi is quoted by the Meshech Chachma back in Parshas Va'era. Because in Parshas Va'era, Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Gimel, if you want to flip back, if you have the Chumash there, Vav Yud Gimel in Parshas Va'era, this is already when the Makos are about to begin. Yetzias Mitzrayim, the process is about to get underway. And the pasuk there says, "Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe v'al Aaron, vaytzaveim el Bnei Yisrael." God speaks to Moshe and Aaron. He commands them regarding Bnei Yisrael. "V'al Paro Melech Mitzrayim," he commands them regarding Paro. And the pasuk concludes with the phrase, "Lohotzi es Bnei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim," that they should take the Jews out of Egypt. Okay, relatively straightforward. God instructs Moshe and Aaron, here's what you're going to do with regard to Paro and the Jews and how to take them out of Egypt. That's the pasuk in Parshas Va'era, setting the stage for the Esther Makos that would follow and Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Talmud Yerushalmi, however, in Rosh Hashanah, Perek Gimel, Halacha Hei, cited by the Meshech Chachma, interprets this pasuk in Parshas Va'era as follows. The pasuk again said, Vaitzaveim el Bnei Yisrael. He commanded them with regard to Bnei Yisrael. Pashup Shat, sounds like, no, Moshe and Aaron, here's your task, here's your responsibility, the Jews, get them out. But the Yerushalmi says, no, you know what that means? Says the Yerushalmi, Al Matzivam, what did God command Moshe and Aaron about? Al Parshas Shiluach Avadim. The Yerushalmi understands that Moshe and Aaron were commanded then and there, while they were still in Mitzrayim, about the mitzvah of freeing servants. Now that's somewhat puzzling. Of all the mitzvahs to be given when they're still in Egypt, they haven't even gotten out yet. The first of the mitzvahs is that of freeing your Eved Ivri after 6 years. That's what you got to tell them right now. So the problem is, why does the Yerushalmi understand that pasuk in Parshas Va'era to be telling me that God commanded Moshe and Aaron while they were still in Egypt about the freeing of the servants? I mean, this is a mitzvah that is going to be relevant for generations to come. Why talk about it right then and there? And the Yerushalmi actually cites our psukim right here in this Haftorah. The Yerushalmi cites this pasuk that we just read about sending your Jewish slaves free after 6 years of service. Meaning, according to the Yerushalmi, when our pasuk here in Yirmiyahu Lamed Daled, pasuk Yud Gimel, says that this was the covenant I made with your forefathers, biyom hotzi'i osam me'eretz Mitzrayim, it actually refers to the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Might not be the actual date, because this is still before the Esther Makos occurred. But this is while they're still in Mitzrayim. It's when the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim is starting. And this is actually when God, according to the Yerushalmi, instructs Moshe and Aaron about the mitzvah of Shiluach Avadim. And so now that begs the question. If this is true, if the Yerushalmi in Rosh Hashanah, in fact, understands the pasuk in Va'era, Vav Yud Gimel, to be referring to the commandment to free your servants after 6 years of work.
And Yerushalmi, in fact, invokes our Pesukim here in Yirmiyahu Lamed Daled, that this is what the Pasuk refers to when it speaks of the bris that was made at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim to free one's Jewish servants after 6 years. The question becomes, why did God, in fact, find it necessary to instruct the Jews with regard to this particular mitzvah at this particular junction of time? Okay, so very nice. Now we've concluded that while they were still in Egypt, God said, here's the mitzvah of Shiluach Avadim. Why now? Why now? So this is a question that is asked by Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in Hesichos Musar. And he explains as follows. In Hesichos Musar, in Parshas Va'era, he says, there is a very, very good reason why God wanted this mitzvah to be given, as we just saw in the Yerushalmi and Rosh Hashanah, to the Jews when they were still in Mitzrayim. Because, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, it is not so easy to part ways with the convenience and the luxury of someone living in your home for 6 years, doing everything you need. Now, granted, there were some restrictions on the type of work you could give an Eved Ivri. It had to be respectable, dignified. But you have someone who's there, essentially, to help you out day and night, around the house, whatever you needed. And all of a sudden, for 6 years of getting used to this lifestyle, well, I could get used to that. That's a pretty comfortable way to live. I can imagine all the extra time I'd have in my hands and all the work that I could have someone else do for me instead of me having to do it myself. After 6 years, I got to just, that's it, say goodbye and off they go. Not so simple. One might not be so quick to part with such a luxury. So says of Chaim Shmulevitz, Kadosh Baruch Hu, therefore, Bedafka wanted Klal Yisrael to receive this mitzvah when they were in Egypt. When they were just at that point in their own life experience, able to see the contrast between slavery they had just experienced and endured and the emancipation that they're now eagerly anticipating, which is at hand, at that very moment, they are now and only now able to fully appreciate the need for freedom that every Jew has a right to. So that was the best time, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, for Kadosh Baruch Hu to give this mitzvah to Klal Yisrael. This was bedafka, the best time when they could appreciate more than any other the need that every Jew has for freedom, because they just experienced it themselves, the difficulty of slavery and the eager anticipation for emancipation. So this, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, was a moment of hisorus in the national consciousness of Klal Yisrael. This was the best time for them to be given this mitzvah because, he suggests as follows, when someone has a moment of inspiration, a moment of hisorus, that moment of inspiration can be preserved for generations to come. If you are spiritually motivated, awakened, moved, and inspired by any event, you have to, if you will, bottle that inspiration, take it with you, preserve it. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael this mitzvah because this was the moment when they would be inspired enough to accept it, b'lev shalem, and to then maintain that inspiration and transmit that inspiration to future generations. And that, he says, is something that every Jew can do in his or her avodas Hashem. You experience a moment of inspiration. A moment of inspiration, just to apply it to the current moment. Listen to the Spadim this morning, and perhaps being moved by hearing about a young woman's amunah and bitachon in the face of adversity and suffering, and her simchas achayim and her chesed and her love of friends, and there was so much there that could be taken as inspiration to apply to one's recital of brachos or to one's sensitivity. There was so much there. And when there is a moment of inspiration that one finds moving, you can bottle it, you can preserve it, you can maintain it, you can build on it. Chaim Shmulevitz suggests that if you transform it at that moment into something tangible that can serve as a reminder of that moment of inspiration, it can then be
utilized and referred back to many, many times in the future. Chaim says that perhaps the idea of the rainbow is meant to symbolize that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if Kaviyochel is telling us, whenever a rainbow comes out, I remember that promise that I made never to punish the world again as I did in times of the Mabul. And the rainbow is that my reminder that I've made for myself, Kaviyochel. That when you look back at something that which you associated at a time with a moment of inspiration, that can then be looked back to again and again and again to reignite that inspiration no matter how much longer later it is. In fact, there is a pasuk in Shir HaShirim that in a Chassidus Svarim they cite in this regard. The pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Perek Beis, Pasuk Zayin, says the following. Im ta'iru v'im ta'oriru es ha'ahava, if you reawaken the love, ad she'techpats. Ad she'techpats. What does that mean, ad she'techpats? What Sifrei Chassidus suggest is she'techpats is a word that's related to the word chefetz, which means an object. If you can, in a moment of inspiration, when there is a moment of im ta'iru, im ta'oriru, a moment of inspiration, if you can at that moment, you're inspired, es ha'ava, you're inspired to avas Hashem, you're inspired to dveikus, you're inspired to a greater connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ad she'techpats, if you can quantify that somehow by making it tangible, by transforming it into something concrete, that allows you to maintain that inspiration much longer going forward. So when there's a moment of inspiration and you're inspired to take on something additional in chesed, in ben al chaveru, in recital of one's brachos, do it immediately. Immediately incorporate into one's daily routine something additional, something that can be concrete, that can be tangible, that you can transform that inspiration into, so that even when, as time goes on, and yes, it's human nature that those moments of his orus seem to wane and seem to fade away, but I've already concretized it into something concrete, like a bracha recited with kavana once a day, as an example, then you're left with that inspiration forevermore. So this, says Chaim Shmulevitz, is the message as to why the mitzvah of freeing the Eved Ivri was given to Klal Yisrael when they were in Mitzrayim. When they're in Mitzrayim. We look back now at the rest of the Haftarah. And we look back now, Pasuk Yud Zayin. And here is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu now, the Navi, informs us of the punishment. Because you, Klal Yisrael, failed to maintain this mitzvah of freeing the Eved Ivri, so now what's going to happen? L'chein komar Hashem, so says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, atem lo shematem elai. You didn't listen. Likro dror ishla achiv, to free one another. You didn't free your brother, your friend. So therefore, what's going to happen? Hinani kore lachem deror. So I will now literally free you, but it means I will make you free for the taking, so to speak. I will make you vulnerable, open you up, says God. To what? To the sword, to the pestilence, to the famine. This is frightening. Because of this one failure, of this one sin of not freeing an Eved Ivri, so now you will be subjected to, essentially, death at the hand of the Babylonian hordes who are going to invade Yerushalayim. And in fact, in Pasuk Yedches, that message continues. And God says, V'nosati es ha'anashim ha'ovrim es brisi asher lo hekimu es divrei habris asher karsu lefanai. I now will give over these individuals, meaning these Jews, who have violated my covenant. They didn't fulfill the words of my covenant. What do they do? And here the pasuk describes something which is somewhat surprising. Ha'egel asher karsu l'shnayim v'yavru bein besarav. They even made a covenant, which they would do at that time by cutting up a calf into two pieces and walking between the pieces. What is this covenant they made? So the Mefarshim explain here, they made a covenant, says Rashi, that when they took back the slaves that they had freed in violation of the law, of the mitzvah of freeing those slaves, they took them back and enslaved them yet again, They made a covenant, says Rashi, by walking between the pieces of this calf, as the Pasuk describes. What was that covenant? That was a covenant to rebel against God, to defy God's word. That's somewhat surprising. Not only did they sin by not freeing the slaves and by taking them back, but that it seems like they even made it a point of defiance, as if they declared amongst themselves, we will defy God's word. It wasn't just negligence, temptation. It was outright open defiance, which is also a very, very shocking, perhaps, evolution or development of the manner in which the Jews sinned. Whereas it seems that perhaps initially it might have been just a temptation. They couldn't free the Avadim and maintain that freedom. They took them back. They succumbed to the temptation to take them back. But ultimately, it evolved into a outright defiance of the law. That's what we seem to be reading here in the Pesukim. And what's going to happen as a result? So first the Pasuk describes in Pasuk Yitzes that these were the ministers, the officers, the nobility of Yerushalayim, the Kohanim, all the Amharites, they all defied God. And therefore, says God in Pasuk Chaf, I will now deliver them into the hands of their enemies. Ad kedei kach, the Pasuk says, their corpse will be food for the birds and for the animals. Shocking. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Tzidkiyo Melech Yehuda, he will be given over to his enemies, Melech Bavel. And the Pasuk of Beis, God says that this city will be conquered, it will be burned, and the cities of Yehuda will be desolate without anyone living there. So concludes Perek Lamed Daled, of course, on a very, very somber, negative, ominous note. And that's why the Haftorah then, since we don't like to conclude on a negative note, reverts back to Perek Lamed Gimel with just two concluding psukim from Perek Lamed Gimel that speak more positively of God having mercy upon the descendants of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But obviously, as mentioned before, the theme of the Haftorah is this very, very sobering one of the sin of failing to free the Avadim and the punishment of conquest and captivity at the hands and death at the hands of Melech Bavel as a result. And it would seem on the surface that this punishment is one that follows the general rule of Mida Keneged Mida. You don't free your slaves, therefore you instead will be conquered by others. Mida Keneged Mida is the punishment. And yet the severity of it is so, so striking. It's so striking. In Sefer Kol Tzofayach by Rav Chaim Zaitchik, he suggests as follows. He says, what is it that lies at the root of this failure to free Avadim? What has it really come down to? If you had to pinpoint the personality trait, the very essence of this failure to free Avadim, what one ends with, says Rav Zaitchik, is that every person by nature has an interest, a desire to be superior to others. That people enjoy an air of superiority. They enjoy a sense of dominion over others. They enjoy seeing others submit to them and follow their directive. And no one wants to be the one subjected to someone else's authority. That's just human nature. Human nature. And this sin, this failure to free the Eved Ivri, suggests Rav Zaitchik, is essentially tied to that Mida Ra'ah, that drive that every person has to be the one in control, to be the one who is in the position of authority, to be the one who can give orders, not take orders. That's what this mitzvah or this Avera stems from. What the Jews were being told to do was to overcome that natural inclination, that natural intuitive desire to be superior, to reign supreme, to be the authority figure, and give it up. Give it up. And they failed in that regard. They failed in that regard, and hence the Mida Keneged Mida that they became themselves the captives, the conquered ones. But the reason why this Mida is so serious, says Rav Zaitchik, is because ultimately we all have to be willing to submit ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's authority. We can't live life wanting to be in control, because ultimately we have to live life recognizing only HaKadosh Baruch Hu's authority over everyone and everything. And that perhaps might be why this Mida is Vida so dangerous and so insidious. And so this mitzvah freeing the Eved, on the one hand, it reflects the Jew's ability to appreciate someone else's suffering in servitude, much like we did in Mitzrayim. It demands that we maintain that moment of inspiration that we had, that when we received this mitzvah back at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we still have to remember what it was like for us then and to live it now. But it also reflects that Mida. We can't demand authority. We can't demand superiority. We have to learn that Mida of submissiveness, of being willing to throw up our hands and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are in control. I am not in control. And that is ultimately what it came down to here in the Navi, in the Haftorah of Yirmiyahu Lamed Daled, of Klal Yisrael failing and remaining unable or unwilling to see that authority, see that control, failing to see that we're not in control, we can't be in control. And sadly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu thereby punished them with the Mida Keneged Mida of the Malchus Bavel taking control. And of course, the message of the Doros, one of seeking to, as I mentioned before, learn from moments of inspiration, concretize them, make them tangible, remember them, live by them. And in this particular instance, the mitzvah and the midah of not just being sensitive to someone else's misfortune and needs, but also to recognize our own need to be anovim, not individuals looking for superiority and control. Okay, we'll conclude here. Wish everyone a wonderful evening. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. And a wonderful rest of the week.